Yeah, it is a fantastic late morning. Is it late morning at 10 o'clock
yeah, late
in the morning?
Morning.
A little
yeah.
bit late morning. I'm feeling a little bit off. So I did a late in and out run last night. It's kind of thrown me off this morning. I feel like it's still kind of with me a little
what
bit.
What time do you think it was at?
When I ate it?
Yeah.
10, 9:30, 10, something like that.
9:30, 10. So Lakers were probably just starting the second quarter.
Yeah, but
today's
you weren't
NBA.
Hammering a double-double animal style with chilies at that point.
You don't know what I'm doing at 12:30 yeah, no, or 1 when I get home.
Well, that could be a different story.
Well, I'm not doing that. I'm not actually having the...
I have like a calorie hangover. I didn't have zero alcohol, but I have like some sort of weird, bizarre, like caloric hangover that's just kind
okay,
of
what
weighing
was the order?
On me at
what'd
the
you,
moment.
What was the order?
What'd exactly what I just said. It was a double-double animal mm-hmm. style with chilies and a pink lemonade. I didn't get the fries. I wasn't really feeling fries last night, which is pretty rare for me, but I just did the burger, and it was fantastic. It's always fantastic, but I feel like I had 11 beers. It's just it's a very weird feeling.
You know how you said you're not interested in you're not interested in knowing the calorie count?
Yeah, no,
remember I we talked about
no,
that.
No, don't. I see you typing over there. Don't do that. I don't tell me that I hit 1,400 calories two hours before I went to bed.
This is why I want to do it for you, because you said you're feeling a certain way. Yeah. So I'm on the nutritional info right now. Uh-huh. The curious one I have is the lemonade.
I had three of them. I filled the glass three times.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. Now, it's full with ice. So
you had three lemonades?
I had three lemonades.
I think I could do three burgers before I could do three lemonades. Three double-doubles before I could
Look,
do three lemonades.
It's nothing I'm proud of, but that's what happened. If you're asking me what happened, that's what happened.
All right, we'll get you the yeah, you'll nutritional the,
you're
info.
You're
going
to need a calculator
go.
To multiply all of that to get you.
Okay,
you
so
put
they're,
it in scientific
they're
notation?
150 calories each lemonade.
Okay, so there's 450.
You had three,
yeah.
like legit 450.
Yes.
Let's go down to 400. You had some ice in there because I'm assuming the 11 ounces is without ice. And then you had a double-double.
Yes.
Double-double is 330, total 670.
That's actually far better than I thought I was going to do. Shoot, I should have gotten another double-double.
1,200 calories.
If I'm keeping
right
it
there.
Under 400 calories, mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty good. Or I should say a four-digit calorie count, I'm feeling pretty
Let's
good
do
about
that.
It.
I like that. When you're not feeling good about yourself, we go back, look at all the nutritional info,
yeah.
and just start listing
it
down.
I might feel a little bit better about it. Had a good interaction with a fan at the In-N-Out on Chapman in Orange yesterday. He asked about, this is hand to God truth,
mm-hmm.
asked about you. Brandon from the gas company last night ran into him at the In-N-Out in Chapman, and or not in Chapman, on Chapman, and he goes, love Slee. Love that Slee's got his own show, and love listening to you guys every day.
Appreciate it, Brandon.
It's very, very cool.
Thank
very,
you, Brandon.
Very cool. If
Hopefully
you think,
Brandon did not watch the Lakers game yesterday, Brandon.
I was just going to say, Al, if you think that I'm talking about burgers to just delay the fact that we need to talk about that the Lakers
we got a lot
lost
of good games coming on this weekend. Let's go through, let's break down each NFL game.
I'm just trying to ease into the fact that the Lakers
we'll start
lost
in
to
Jacksonville.
Oklahoma City again. Oklahoma City again.
Yeah.
Let's just start with this. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Oklahoma City's won two games this year. Both of them against the Lakers. Both of them after the Lakers have had big leads in the first half. It's a problem. It's a big problem.
Make sure my board's on.
It's a problem for a variety of reasons, but this is not spinnable. This is not one of those things. This is not, well, this guy was missing or that guy was missing. Oklahoma City stinks, and they've beaten the Lakers twice in a week. This is unspinnable.
I am I'm gonna prep you for something this morning through this afternoon, because we'll go till 1 o'clock. Everything you try to throw at me,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna try to spin it positively.
Be my guest. I'm good.
By the way, I'm not sure if I am good at doing that or not. We're going to find out, but I'm going to try as best as I can for everything that you throw at the Los Angeles Lakers this morning, who are now 5-4, who have two losses against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who've blown a 26-point lead and a 19-point lead to the Thunder. I'm going to do everything I can to kind of spin it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say this?
Please.
It's just kind of a weird... What a weird start to the season.
No, I'm going to stop you right there. You can try to spin it. It's not a weird start to the season. It's a bad start to the season. There's no other way
no,
to spin
there's
it.
Weird, too.
There's weird
LeBron's
in,
missed three games
there's
already.
There's weird in the bad, but it's weird would be you had some really good performances, some really bad ones that this mm-hmm. guy's missed here, but you're like, this has been bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the end of the world, because we were talking about this morning. It's
about 10%
barely 10%
of
the season. There's
yeah.
a ton of bad. But I'm not going to pretend that this isn't bad. It is. You can't lose to Oklahoma
City. Okay, what part of it? Talk to me.
All of it.
Give me a little more details.
Okay, losing to Oklahoma City twice. Mm-hmm. Blowing means that you are not present. Blowing big leads means that you can't finish off a bad team. Mm-hmm. This is not this. I heard a quote from Russell Westbrook talking about, hey, we didn't have all our guys. We haven't had our full team yet. Not even close. And he's right.
I don't think he was making that excuse for it. I think the excuse you should pay attention more to is what Vogel said about blowing a lead. I don't know if you have that on there, but Vogel blowing a lead specifically, you can hit it.
Well, they're going to keep playing. The NBA game is a long game. Early leads don't really mean anything in the modern NBA. You know, you got to keep playing. We learned that lesson last week. But they made their run in the second quarter, and you know it's a 48-minute game. You got to play four quarters.
Learning your lesson means you don't let it happen again.
Yeah.
Or at least it's a very long time until it happens again. This was a carbon copy of what we saw a week ago.
What changed?
Yeah, this is not. If you can't beat Oklahoma City when Anthony Davis plays and plays well, when Russell Westbrook plays, when Carmelo Anthony has a night where he's making threes, you can't beat OKC again. I mean, look. I can sit here and try to pretend that, I got a lot of time. And that's true. This is bad. There is no spinning this. There is no, hey, there's this. I'm not saying that the season is over. I'm not saying that they can't fix it. I'm not saying that there won't be better days ahead. I believe that all of those things are true. What I'm saying is the nine games we've seen, this is bad, full stop.
Okay, so a couple things I want to take away from yesterday's game. Because I think, and by the way, if you want to react, I'm sure there's going to be Laker fans throughout the show this morning that want to react. And whatever it is, the topic could be as simple as starting off 5-4. It could be losing to the Thunder two games in a row. It could be some of the late execution in the game yesterday. It could be pointing the finger at a specific player or coach. It could be, hey, everything's fine. Everybody relax. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. So this is kind of the, I guess you could say, the odd part that I'm walking away with yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I have been very, since the beginning of the season, hey, they got a lot of games that are going to work to their favor early on in the schedule, right? You got a lot of games against teams you could do some damage to. So
at home, too.
It's not going to tell the, like, even if the Lakers started out, as an example, so they're sitting at 5-4. Let's say they started out 7-2. If they start out 7-2, that's not going to tell. It doesn't mean it's a 7-2 team in the NBA because the schedule is incredibly favorable to start off.
Yep.
So the part that I kind of have the most difficulty with this Lakers team is there's a long way to go, like you mentioned. You know what? Guys like LeBron has already missed three games. THT we haven't seen yet. Wayne Ellington made his first appearance yesterday. Trevor Ariza, Kendrick Nunn, and. I don't want to list these as excuses, but I'm just pointing out some things. The problem with where the Lakers are right now, they've had the easiest schedule in the NBA through nine games. So if you look at the two games against the Thunder, Cleveland is probably a 500 team at best in the Eastern Conference. San Antonio Spurs lottery team. Houston,
Memphis is a 7-10.
You've already played Houston twice. Four of your nine games are against Houston and Oklahoma City. If I told you, give me the two teams in the bottom of the standings when the West is done this year,
it's going to be Houston and
Oklahoma City.
Yep.
They will fight for the worst record in the Western Conference.
Yep.
My issue is not that some of these players are missing. My issue is not that this team is going to look a certain way 30 days from now, 60 days from now. My issue is that through nine games, just watching the games that they've played, it's not good basketball.
No.
There is no rhythm.
No.
There is no real identity.
No.
Again, I'll go back to
Defense
this.
Defense is bad.
I'll go back to this. That could very well change. If I said, give me one positive thing so far this season, what would you say?
I think there's one thing that is extremely positive. Carmelo Anthony.
He's been amazing.
He's been fantastic.
So you've had a really good Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. LeBron's played in six of the nine games, if you want to look at it that way, rather than the three games missed. And you're 5-4, and even some of these wins you got, Spurs went into overtime. Houston, you had to hope and pray that Kevin Porter Jr. missed a three at the end to just get by. Memphis, you need a Ja Morant to miss a free throw. So, you know, as you stockpile the way the season has gone so far, we can talk about what the future looks like, but I think it's more important to pay attention to what's happening right now.
This is not a, it will never look right. I need to make this as clear as I possibly can. This is not the Lakers are a bad team. Okay, what I'm saying is the Lakers have played like a bad team through nine games. There's a difference between those two things. There's no excuse for what's happening. You can say LeBron's missed a few games, and I'm talking the royal you, not you, Alan Sliwa.
Yeah.
They have. They lost to Oakland. If Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony can't beat Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. we got problems. If you have to go and hope that a jumper from a Houston Rockets player rims out, you've got problems.
Mm-hmm.
If you need somebody to miss a shot at the end of the game to win, that these are the opponents that they've had so far. Have you seen anything? And I know that they don't have to do it right now. They need to do it in March and
February,
April and May.
Yep.
And I get it. But have you seen anything that leads you to believe that this team could beat a really good team 4 out of 7 times?
Here's the beauty. The beauty is, as much as I sit here and say they've had the easiest schedule through 9 games, well, that's going to eventually change. That's going to eventually even out. Let me use as an example. Tomorrow, Lakers got the Blazers at Portland. Every Laker fan knows that's a tough place to go.
Always has been.
Always has been. Do you know how Portland's doing this year? They're not that good.
Nope.
They've lost 3 games in a row. They're kind of a desperate team early on in the season. Now, the difference between Portland and the Lakers, Portland doesn't have the expectations that the Lakers have, right? So tomorrow, to use as an example, no one's going to expect LeBron James to play in that game as well. Anthony Davis said towards the end of the presser that he had yesterday that we'll see about tomorrow. So that could potentially be a game if Anthony Davis maybe isn't 100%, whatever the case is, that thumb strain.
Yep.
So I say all that because these are your next few matchups. You got the Blazers, Charlotte, Miami. You're going to start – this is how the schedule evens out. You're going to have to start playing good teams. Now, the question is, are Lakers playing down to their competition? And will they all of a sudden play better when they play good teams? They have not really given an indication that that's going to be the case.
No, down to the competition is a real thing. I get it. It happens in every sport that when you're a really good team and you're playing a team that's not very good, sometimes your focus, your execution, all these things kind of wane because you know that at the end of the night, your talent is just going to win the game for you. It's a real thing. I get it.
Yeah.
But there are usually pockets in those games against the less team where you look really good, and then you kind of – that's not really what's taking place. The really good portions have been very short or non-existent. That, I think, is as big a part of it. Phone lines are already filling up right now. If you want to get in, you can be a part of the Trav and Slee Show on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. 877-710-ESPN. That's the number if you want to get in and participate.
Okay, so we'll do a couple things. We'll take your calls when we come back. Plus, Trav, I thought the end of the game was very interesting yesterday.
So did I.
When we come back, let's spend a little time on some of the decisions that were made towards the end of the game, plus kind of looking at a big picture, why is it even close at the end of the game? But I think we should analyze how the last minute and a half, 2 minutes went. Stay right here. This is the Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chris piling on Russ's shot at the end of the game. Look, this is – I'm not going to do it yet. Can you give me a little credit, please?
We have the Adele audience. I just want you to know that.
Clearly. You're not giving me the respect and the credit that I deserve. Are you ready?
Sure.
I have not walked around doing the see, told you, see. Mm-hmm. I haven't because there haven't been enough games. There haven't been enough games to make a really clear judgment on whether or not the Russell Westbrook addition was successful or not. We don't know yet. There's only been 9 games. Last night, I think, was a pretty good glimpse into where my concerns lie. That you have a night where Carmelo Anthony is hot. He's making shots.
Yep.
You have a game-ending situation where you've got the ball. There's a handful of seconds left. And Russ is taking the ball up the court, and he uncorks a three without Carmelo getting the ball, and it's not even close to going in. I understand there are some extenuating circumstances I know you want to talk about, but this was my concern, that when it gets to the end, he's not the best option. There are better options than him, and he needs to find a way to get the ball to those better options.
So here's the key here. Let's talk about the end of the game yesterday. So if we want to go ahead and just put to the side that the Lakers were in another close game against the Oklahoma City Thunder at Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
As tough as that is to like put that to the side, because yesterday I was doing this in the postgame show. People could say, well, how about that last possession? I'm like, why are the Lakers down three with a couple seconds left? You know, that's the difficulty I had. But let me play out this, because this happened a lot, and I'm sure people are going to comment on Russell Westbrook, and as you just mentioned right there. So remember we were talking about Dave Roberts? And you're supposed to put your players in the best position to succeed.
Sure.
Julio Rios, I don't know if was put in that position a couple different times in the postseason.
I think you're right.
Okay? And I'll tell you why I'm using that as an example. There was about 7.5 seconds left. I think Dort was the one that hit both free throws. So now Lakers are down three, 107-104. Yep. Carmelo had already hit two threes just prior to that. Carmelo was 50% from the three-point line. He didn't take two. He took 10. He was 5 for 10.
He's hot.
He's been unbelievable. So most people would say, well, how the hell is Russell Westbrook going to get the ball with 7.5 seconds left, dribble down the floor, and put up a three to try to tie the game? If you're the Oklahoma City Thunder defense, you are sitting back and saying, this is arguably the greatest moment of the game. Russ is going to try to tie the game for them mm-hmm. with a three-pointer. So it's a very fair argument. Here would be my question. First of all, when LeBron does come back, Russ won't have the ball in his hands in that situation. That's one thing. And that's not going to change. LeBron will have the ball in those end-of-the-game situations.
Are you 100% sure about that?
I'm 200% sure.
Okay.
If you don't have LeBron James with a ball in his hands and coach or anybody else
agree with
doesn't
you.
Say anything, then I think
agree. I
that's
agree
a different
with
problem.
What you're saying.
Yep.
I okay. totally agree that he should.
Yep.
My question is, will he?
Here is my question that I had last night. When I say that you want to put your players in the best position to succeed, it's a close game yesterday. Isn't that the perfect scenario where every coach has a timeout in their back pocket
mm-hmm.
so then they can move the ball to half court and they could design a play where maybe Russell Westbrook is inbounding the ball and you have Wayne Ellington and Carmelo Anthony, you have other shooters on the floor. The problem is yesterday, Lakers didn't have a timeout. So now you're going full court. You know what's not going to happen? And even though this is probably a better scenario, you're not going to inbound it to Carmelo, and he's going to drive 90 feet and go get himself a shot. It's just not his game. So Russ gets the ball, starts dribbling up the floor. Carmelo's coming off a screen, as the Oklahoma City Thunder know. The Lakers are going to try to get him the ball. He got the ball 7.5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Carmelo's coming off a three, you're now looking at 3.5 seconds, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So Russ is like, well, the game is going to run out. I have to get a shot up. He shoots the shot. I thought there was it should have never came down to one possession. That's number one. But it did. And in that
sure
one
did.
Possession, Coach, you got to pocket a timeout in that predicament. The Lakers didn't do it. And I know it's easy to just throw it on Russ and say, well, why is Russ taking that shot? He's taking it because the Thunder know Carmelo Anthony is the three-point shooter, and the Lakers didn't have a timeout to go drop a play.
You know who feels differently? Frank Vogel.
Yeah, not good enough. We want to get a better shot than that. The spacing wasn't great. We were trying to get Melo to the top of the floor, but the spacing wasn't great.
Yeah,
go watch the play.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying
the
you're
Thunder.
Wrong.
Carmelo watched the ball.
I get it. And your point about why are we even in this situation to begin mm-hmm. with is a very good one. But you are
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
After again and again, we've talked about this. This is not new. But I think that's interesting that Frank Vogel, when asked about the shot at the end of the game, was, that's not good enough. We need a better shot than that. That's not, hey, look, the clock was running down. We didn't have a timeout. Everything was a little chaotic. He got a look. He let it go. It missed. Whatever. We need a better shot.
But, this better than, but just let's take that little. It is a little chaotic of a situation.
It is.
You have 7 seconds left, mm-hmm. 7.5 seconds left. You have to go 90 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You are depending on Carmelo Anthony to come off a screen, and the Thunder are sitting back saying, so AD's not even at the three-point line.
I'm not saying that the Thunder didn't defend it reasonably well. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that that scenario
I was gonna say,
is the scenario that played out is my fear. Okay, now maybe there's a reason it played out the way that it did. That you're saying the reason he took the shot is because X, Y, and Z.
Coach, happened. Where's your timeout?
He didn't have a timeout. Carmelo was defended. The clock was running down. I get it. You're not wrong, but we got a really good look at it. It was a perfect example. The only thing that would have made it better is if LeBron was on the floor standing there going like, really? We're going to do that? But he wasn't there. He's hurt. He's going to miss a week or so. We'll see. We'll get to that in a minute. But it was the example of, dude, you can't take it. Again, if there are 2 seconds left and the ball comes in, you got to let it go. You did. Russell Westbrook, 7 seconds is not two. There's 7 seconds. We can run a little bit of an action, and it didn't happen. And he doesn't make that shot very often.
He was a – I think it's easy to make him a scapegoat yesterday because he also had a turnover, key turnover, when Lakers were also down by two. But the reality is at the end of that game, he's bringing the ball up with 7.5 seconds, and they're guarding the Lakers' best three-point shooter, and you don't have a timeout. I don't think Russ wants to take that shot. I think Russ is saying to himself,
gosh, that's a good question.
I think Russ is saying to himself, really, well, what the hell question. Do you want me to do if I cannot find a three-point shooter?
That's interesting. And I guess only he knows the answer to that.
Maybe he does want to take. Maybe he's confident enough where he's
Look, Russell Westbrook does not lack confidence. That's not his issue.
But if you're the Thunder, you're sitting back saying, okay, yeah.
No, go all day long. Of course. All night long, yeah. Let him take that shot. It's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I'm going to let the Laker fans have a little Straight Talk right here on the Dr. Pepper Hotline. Let's go to Chino and Jonathan. Jonathan, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm with, is it Travis? Westbrook does not fit. He does not fit. He's too selfish. He's too, oh, my God. It's frustrating me just thinking about how, I have one question for you guys, and then I'm leaving. Would you rather have Westbrook in the lineup that we have right now, or Kuzma? And what would you think would fit better?
Okay.
Honestly, that's it, man. It's so frustrating hearing you guys talk about the Lakers and how it's just Westbrook doesn't.
Okay, John, don't get that frustrated. Jonathan's to be honest with you, go throw some jazz on. Go throw some jazz on. Well, I mean, we want people to listen, but if he's that upset, just.
I want you to answer the question about Westbrook and Kuzma in a second, but I do want to take issue a little bit with what he said about Russell. I don't think Russell Westbrook is selfish in the classic definition. Yeah. I don't think it's one of those, I want to get mine and damn the team. I don't think it's that
You're
at
right
all.
About that.
I don't think it's that at all. What I think comes across as selfish, and I think almost every great player has this, is I'm the best option. Why would I pass it to you? I'm the best player out here. And that's what makes great players great players. It's that belief that there are no better options than me. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout's not saying, you know what, why don't we give the – let's have Luis Rengifo hit here. No, I want to hit here. Mm-hmm. The best players in the best sports, give me the ball, give me the at-bat, let me come into the game to face this guy. The best players want the game on their shoulders, in their hands. With Russ, it's to the point of, I get it. I respect the hustle. I respect the effort, the intensity, all these things. But let's see the larger picture sometime. And that's my concern, is that his belief in himself, I think, sometimes comes across as you're not seeing the whole picture.
When I think of players that are looking to get their own, okay, Allen Iverson was, I score the ball. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Back, in his day, he scores the ball. Russell Westbrook facilitates, so it's not like Russ is sitting back every possession and he wants to get his shot up. I genuinely feel like he was forced a bad hand last night to take that last shot. I really do believe that. That doesn't mean Russ plays perfect basketball. That doesn't mean Russ is a three-point shooter. It doesn't mean any of that. I felt like that one possession last night, Russ was kind of forced to it. The conversation about Russ and Kuz.
Yeah, stop.
This is the better. I'll tell you who's Kuzma this year. Lakers were hoping Kuzma would be Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
As in, Carmelo comes in 20, 25 minutes a game, spot up shooter. I'm going to hit my threes. I'm a threat from the outside. That's the Kuzma comparison. And if you're asking me whether you'd want Kuzma or Carmelo, it's not a conversation. And by the way, Kuz is in a good spot in Washington doing what he's doing.
Yeah. No, they're off to a pretty good start as well. Let's go to Culver City. Next stop. And Ray, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Thank you guys for taking my call. Guys, what are we doing, man? Why are we trying so hard to make something out of nothing? We are game 9 of an 82-game season. I don't give a damn what happens during the regular season. As long as the Lakers place fourth or better get a good playoff seeding so that they don't have to go through that gambit of the play-in tournament, whatever you want to call that thing. Mm-hmm. This is pointless. Russell Westbrook is a good basketball player. LeBron James did not play last night. I highly, highly doubt that Houston or OKC could beat the Lakers in the 7-game series. So what are we doing?
Okay, Ray, here's my question. By the way, if you highly doubt that those two teams can beat the Lakers in a 7-game set, that's not a good start. Because the fact that – I mean, obviously that's not going to be a conversation because they're not going to make the playoffs. So, Ray, then what do you think of the first 9 games? Just how do you think of the way the Lakers have played? Are you disappointed at all? Would you have liked to have seen them get off to a better start? Easiest schedule so far in the NBA?
It's a work in progress because last I checked, if you look at the roster from last year and this year, there's a lot of people missing. There's a lot of folks
11 new guys. To, 11 new guys.
That's called chemistry, guys. We don't get chemistry in 10 games. We get
to
chemistry
beat Oklahoma
in 50.
City.
Ray, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
We appreciate you calling in. And, hey, we'll take any call that wants to play it the other way.
Absolutely.
But what you just said was the most important thing.
Yeah.
Depends on your competition.
Yeah, man. Look, if this looked ragged and you were losing to Brooklyn and you were losing to Utah and you were losing to Denver and Phoenix.
But they were close games and it's coming down to the wire.
Honestly, even if they weren't. Like mm-hmm. the Phoenix game, right? They got smacked by Phoenix. Okay. Phoenix is really good. Lakers are a work in progress. I get it. That's Ray's argument in that particular situation mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense to me. Oklahoma City hasn't beaten anybody but the Lakers. The Houston Rockets haven't beaten anybody other than Oklahoma City. Okay? These are really bad teams. And this isn't guys that are just out of college or these are guys that have just come over from somewhere else. This is Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. This is Carmelo Anthony. And I'm not saying that it's these guys' fault because if you just look at the numbers, they're pretty good. The Laker team, right now, does not look good. It's not the final exam is not in. I get it. We're just, we're still in chapter 2 of the book. I understand all of these things. But you can't say it doesn't matter when you can't beat really lousy teams. That there has to be some meaning in that. It's not everything. It's not over, but Oklahoma City is a bad team. You've lost to them twice. You've blown big leads to them twice. That means something else.
Why did Shai Gilgeous pull up from 40, and why does his shot look like he's taking the half-court shot?
I don't know. Pretty good.
At the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, that was...
What's going on with his form?
Who goes through, right? I mean, that shot went in. When he let it go, I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
But it wasn't even that shot. It was all his other shots, too. By the way, that's a fun player to watch.
When he let that go out.
I'm sick of saying that about other
guys. Yeah, let's have some guys that are fun to watch. All right, more phone calls coming up. Everybody is very fired up about what they have seen so far. We got a weekend in the NFL, week 9. Very, very excited to hopefully see Von Miller on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. That's all straight ahead. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There are so many things wrong with that. I don't know where to start. First of all, I'm like the double cheeseburger.
I'm like
In-N-Out.
The
it's double double.
I'm like the Thunder in the NBA. A lot of draft picks.
Sauce.
We're rebuilding.
Sauce spread. Come on, man. Let's go. Get on the level.
There's people who are very passionate. Very, very passionate.
Like who? You know anybody in particular?
It almost like turns me off of trying to like go. I get intimidated now if I try to go to In-N-Out.
I sent Chris the picture. I sent you the picture, and you're like, mm-hmm. Do they have burritos? Yeah. I didn't hear anybody order a burrito
okay,
in that line
quick,
last
quick
night.
Little story. So yesterday I'm going to the Lakers game, picking up my credential. So there's an area booth set up, and usually it's some type of representative from the Lakers.
Sure.
So there's this gal there, Carly. All right. She is one of the interns for the Lakers. And she says, hey, was listening to the show. And I'm like, okay. I didn't know what show she was talking about. She's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I was listening to the Crustables, right? I'm like, awesome. How funny is that? Out of everything that, you know, we hit on, she's like the Crustables, right?
Uncrustables, first of all.
Or the Uncrustables. That's right. That's right. Crustables. What is this? A complete crust sandwich?
A Crustable is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. An Uncrustable is the one that comes in the nice little bag. The bread's nice and soft, and there's no crust.
Do you know why that connected to her? And why it connected to anybody who's at Staples Center in the media? Because they always go down there.
Yes.
Yesterday, after that whole exchange, none.
Well, apparently, one of our listeners told us that they're because, look, if you haven't turned on the news in several months, the supply chain is really jacked up right now, right? But so there's an Uncrustable shortage, apparently.
Is there really an Uncrustable shortage?
Yes. You're going to have to make your own. You're going to have to cut the crust off yourself, get a little press to keep all the stuff in, or at the Sliwa household, you can just make a Crustable. That's another
Listen
way
to the show.
Do
I really don't care about anything you said. The Uncrustables, those are solid.
Important.
Those
are solid. Absolutely important. All right. Laker fans are fired up from what they've seen last night. And you know what's interesting, Al? Kind of all over the board. People are there. There's a good faction of people.
I think
people
that's Laker fans in general.
That
right
are,
now.
Guys, mm-hmm. chill. There's a lot of, no, this is a huge problem. Russ doesn't fit. Vogel doesn't know what he's doing. There's a whole
bunch of parts. I put up a poll yesterday. Okay. How do you feel about the Lakers right now?
Okay.
Bad start will be fine.
Okay.
One of the options, they are in trouble, is the other option.
Oh, those are the only two?
Only two options.
Neither of those, I think, are true.
What would be yours?
If I had to pick, it would be they're in trouble, but I don't think that they're in trouble. First of all, I think they need to figure out a way to play some defense.
What percentage?
Which you could do.
What percentage of Laker fans do you think when they are in trouble?
30.
52.
Half.
52%.
Wow. Wow. I
this is coming more off a loss. You just lost to the Thunder. If tomorrow they beat Portland, I put up the same poll, probably 30.
I'm going to be this guy. I need to know what the definition of trouble is, that they're not going to be a top seed, that they're going to have to play on the road, that they're going to miss the playoffs.
It's not a championship team.
Oh, then the second one.
Honestly, that's the way I put it. They're not a championship team.
If they're not good enough to win the title, then yes.
What is the criteria this year? The criteria this year is either you're competing for a championship or you're not. There really is absolutely no in-between with this team.
All right, let's try another one. Let's go to L.A. this time. And Michael, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
First, let me start off by saying I would rather take that three than Russ. And
you coming off a screen? You coming off a screen or are you pulling? Oh, no, don't. Travis is the guy that would take the three, and he's already going back down to half court.
I would have already been down there because I never would have run back to play defense.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you've got the pitching arm, so, you know, I think it'll work out for you. But I think Russ single-handedly blew that game. You start with that crazy turnover, then there's the horrible three, which, you know, they didn't set him up correctly, and then the botched coverage. It was so upsetting to watch.
All right, appreciate you calling in, Michael. So, if somebody is going to target one player from last night, I don't know if you could do that. You said something to start off the show. You said, "Hey, this comes down to this is the whole squad. Don't give me one player that did this or one player that did that." And if I could go look at the box score, I could call out other players too, other than Russ, other than Anthony Davis, other than Carmelo Anthony, other than those three players. You have a full squad full of veterans and superstars, and at the end of the game, it's close against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it's just 8 days ago, 9 days ago, that you already blew a lead to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I was asking Michael this in pre. Hey, is there something a little more to this game for the Lakers because it was just 8 days ago that you had that? He's like, no, it's not the Thunder's fault. It's more on your back. I'm like, yeah, I get it, but aren't you thinking about we just blew that, you know, we just blew a 26-point lead?
I would be.
Nothing was reflective of that.
No, they did not look like there was another level that they were playing on. It was almost the exact same game.
Mm-hmm.
It was that they got out. The lead wasn't quite as big, but it was a big lead.
And it was really early. That's the only difference. It was early on that 19-point lead was there.
Let's try Ruben in East L.A. Ruben, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for your show. I'm on the freeway, so if you hear me, cool.
Appreciate you.
Loud and clear,
Ruben. They are in trouble. Mm-hmm. They are in trouble because you got LeBron James, Average Davis, and Hot Dog on the Stick, Westbrook, not playing right. They're already hurt. And for the fans saying that these games don't matter, yes, they do. Look at what happened to the Dodgers. One game, and they have to be in the playoffs. Come on.
Yeah, Ruben, I think they matter, too.
I think they matter.
I don't think that they're as meaningful as a baseball game.
The difference
to
the Dodgers, they won 106 games. Yeah. It was more – I don't think the Dodgers did anything wrong. This is more pointed directed at the Lakers, you know, directly at the Lakers.
It's more that the Lakers have just not looked good for anything other than little small pockets here and there. And look, we really haven't even touched on this. And we'll, you know what, Slee, let's do this. Let's get into this at about 10:55 or so after Ask Slee, because I think this is an important part of what we're talking about. Not necessarily what happened last night, because they should take care of business against OKC regardless. Yep. The LeBron James injury, I think, is not something just, he's going to miss a week and you keep it moving. This is something that I think merits a discussion, and it merits a discussion that may be impactful far beyond just this week, because it's different.
We have some stats too that shows how many games percentage wise LeBron has played in his career in each one of these stats or each one of these stints that he's been with other teams, so we could compare that to his previous stints with the Cavs and the Heat.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Ask Slee coming up next. Laker fans are fired up. More of your phone calls coming up in just a little bit, but there's no way we're moving Ask Slee. That's just not happening. We're going to do it Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at just about right now, 10:45. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. This is a very, very important question. When flipping channels and Slee comes across a car chase, do you have to sit and watch until the end? Hashtag Ask Slee.
So I know a lot of people are very religious about car chases. Actually, John had an idea one time about just a channel just dedicated to car chases, replays, all that stuff. It's not a bad idea. I mean, people do go out of their way
to
watch these
things. They are oddly
compelling. But I'm not, you know, this thing could go on for 2 hours. What are we doing?
It gets more exciting the longer it goes. You never. When's he going to run out of gas? Are they going to throw the spike strip? Are they going to try the pit maneuver? Is he going to pull over and give up? Is he going to pull over and not give up? There's a lot of variables in these things.
What I think they need to do, there has to be, you know, some type of technology that can show the gas tank, so we have an idea. Right? Just give us
on,
give me,
like an F1 race where you get the onboard telemetry where you know everything that's going on.
Give me a timetable here. Give me what I'm working with. That's number one. Another thing is, you know, if it's just on the freeway. Right, they're just going on the freeway. That's kind of the same thing over and over again. Now, if you exit,
all
of a sudden it becomes a lot more interesting.
You want them going through the desert?
All of a sudden it becomes a lot more interesting.
Oh, you want surface streets. Now, that gets me worried because I'm always old lady walking her dog or something.
No.
That always makes me very nervous.
That's not what I'm referring to on specifically that.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying there's a little more, you know, it makes it a little bit more difficult. The routes are a little bit different. He ends up in a dead end. Okay, what are they going to do? Does he get out of the car? Does he not? I need a little more.
I'm always excited when I know one of the vehicles has the canine cop in it, the police dog. That's always a game changer, too. Very.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Can you freaking
the
imagine?
The second I see the dog painted on the side of the door of the police car, I'm out. Whatever you want.
Windows are up. Doors are unlocked. Yeah. Both my hands are up. Yep, I'm with you.
Yeah, no, the dog is bad news. All right, this is from John. Were you an invite everyone in the classroom to your birthday party kid, or did you separate from non-equals at an early age?
Not everybody, but you have your main friends. I can have everybody there.
The whole second grade class isn't coming to Alan's birthday.
Can we just
birthday?
Get a couple? Plus, you got, you know, in the Middle Eastern world, you have 148 cousins that live within 10 miles of you. So it's like they're already coming over.
You've already got a head count.
There's no room.
I like it. All right. We turn the clocks back 1 hour this weekend. Does that make your dinner time 2 or 2:30? Hashtag Ask Slee.
It's going to throw me off. By the way, so we get an extra hour of sleep this time?
Yeah, this is the you get more sleep, but it's dark at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Can I say something? I don't know about you. As much as I like this time of the year, man, there's nothing worse than walking outside at 4:45 and it's like, is that it? That's all the sunlight we get?
Why is this still a thing we do? I know that at some point somebody explained it to me that had something to do with when we were more of an agriculture-based country where you needed more daylight to harvest crops and all these, so you'd move the time of the day. Mm-hmm. But that's not really how things work anymore for the most
Bible.
Part. Thou shalt roll the clocks back in early January.
You should know that. You
November
should have read that.
Along the way. I like it. All right, this goes back to our conversation about your camping. Right?
Okay. Yep.
Is it camping?
You're coming, by the way.
Or is it glamping? Does Slee just bring a tarp and a sleeping bag, or is he hauling an entire outdoor home to the campsite?
Bro, it's solid camping. Simple. You know, all you need is a
Spartan?
a tent, a couple chairs, get your firewood, a cooler full of drinks, you know, wherever, whatever type of snacks you want and everything else. Make sure the cooler has some good protein in there, some chicken, steak, whatever you're going to cook. That's all you need. And so to answer the question, it's definitely regular camping. Glamping's cool, you know, but it's not camping.
Take your word for it.
It's not camping.
I'm doing neither along the way. All right, this is obviously a topic today.
Okay.
Do you set all of your clocks back at the Slee House the night before in preparation for daylight savings and fist pump once you're done?
I don't think I set any. Like the microwave, it's probably going to be a week and a half before that one gets adjusted. Okay. I already know in my head, okay, 212, okay, we did the one thing, so it's 112. So now I've adjusted in my own head, so I don't actually go to the clock. By the way, who's got clock? Just got your phone.
Well, no, there's clocks in your home,
yeah,
aren't there?
Yeah, you got the oven, the microwave.
There's not a clock in your living room somewhere that you can glance at without having to dig your phone out of your pocket or something? You don't have an alarm clock next to your bed so you wake up in the middle of the night, you take a peek? You use that. You have to reach over and touch the button, though. You can't just glance at it. Because there's nothing.
I could see you having like a Godfather clock. You have like.
I have a cuckoo clock. It's just the little bird comes out every hour on the hour and hoots at me. No, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I have zero home improvement skills. I'm a chump. I got no game. It's a point of embarrassment for me. I wish I did. I don't.
You embrace it.
But I love going through the house and changing all the clocks. It makes me feel for at least a minute or two like I've accomplished
something. Like you're
something
a general contractor.
Does Alan Sliwa click his tongs before flipping over a burger patty?
I don't think I do, but I'm not flipping another burger without doing that. It's kind of a baller move.
But here's the problem.
Especially if there's a couple people there and a couple taps to get their attention.
click, click, click.
Bam.
This question bothers me. It's a great question, but this is I'm just going to assume that
this is
an over.
You don't need tongs, by the way.
You don't, exactly. You don't use tongs on a burger. You use tongs on chicken.
Yep.
You could use tongs on a very firm
salad
fish. Yeah, you could use it to toss your salad. Right. But if you're using tongs to get, Drew, go buy a spatula. You're doing it wrong.
Don't come at Drew, bro.
Drew's great, but that's a weird one.
Let
All
the
right.
guy be.
When picking up food or drinks, it's from Daniel Tapia. Does Slee use his real name or does he use an alias to avoid Ask Slee or Where's Trav questions?
Yeah, 100% I use Alan because no one has any idea. So, yeah, I think I'm okay with using Alan.
You need to get in on that. You need to start using, like, you need to get an alias that you use everywhere you go. Check into hotels, all of those sorts of things so people can't find you. Like,
you have
like your Tom Hanks.
I have a fake mustache just kind of, like, hanging
off. The Groucho Marx with the nose and the glasses.
When I talk, I put my hand over my mouth.
Here you go. Drew's going to redeem himself right here. Mm-hmm. Does Slee turn over handshakes in order to assert his dominance over the other person? Hashtag Ask Slee.
So I definitely don't do that. And if somebody does do that to me, I'm turning back over. Like if it's, that's when I will become a child. If you and I shake hands and you all of a sudden put your hand on top, asserting your dominance, I'm now turning over. So now we're sitting here both like idiots.
It's like an arm wrestling
trying
match
to show our dominance. So don't do it, and then I won't do
I
it.
I deeply dislike that move. And I don't like when someone comes in real high with their palm
what
down.
Are they doing?
Like, you know who used to do that? And he's one of my favorite people on the face of the earth. My grandfather used to come in with that, like the palm facing directly down, not to the side. And he would always rotate that thing over. It's like, damn, grandpa got me again.
Do you ever read one of those books? You know, where it's like, what's a Napoleon Hill book? Why am I forgetting the name?
Unfamiliar.
It's like How to Win Friends and Influence
People.
Like
okay.
all those types yeah, of yeah, like yeah. those sales type books. Sometimes you read those, and this is back in the day when I used to read them. I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, like everything was so mechanical. Well, the reason why you do this, make sure when you're stand taller than them when you're sitting at a table. I'm like, bro, can we just act normal? If they lean back, you lean back.
Right.
I'm like, guys.
Right.
Why don't we just be normal human
just
beings?
Be, you know, on the earth, present in the moment. One more very quick one. You don't have to answer.
Cut.
Less stable. 80s health for an entire season or couples who have a baby to fix their relationship.
Yeah, that's not a good game plan.
Things aren't
going well.
No, we're just not getting along.
Let's bring another one in.
Let's bring someone that we're going to be mutually responsible for the rest of our lives. And this relationship's just about run its course.
What do you think?
Seems like a good decision.
Sound good?
I'll take
AD. Let's go to Starbucks.
I will take AD. All right, more of your Laker phone calls coming up. And just how worrisome is this LeBron James injury? Al, you got some stats that I think makes make some eyebrows go up.
Yeah,
a little
interesting. We'll do that, and this will just show how many regular season games, the percentage of games LeBron has played, whether in Cleveland, Miami, or now in L.A.
Astley's, brought to you by Kia of Carson. This summer, find your next car or SUV at Kia of Carson. Hurry on in to Kia of Carson for the best selection off the 405 at the Carson exit. Go to KiaofCarson.com. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.